I think it's worth reflecting on some of the fantastic presentations and information we've had today. I think somebody said, why was it structured? When Charlotte and I sat down and talked about technology-enabled care, I think a number of speakers have alluded to the fact that we've been talking about a lot of this for quite a while. And today's programme hopefully is demonstrating where we're getting to. So we've actually got some scale, we've certainly got some great evidence, and we've got real potential in the way that we're moving forwards. We also didn't want to just focus on some things like telecare and telehealth, but actually broaden it. And he's showing bed state tracker. There's an important ingredient in the jigsaw puzzle to actually across the whole care pathway help and enable what we're doing. So hopefully we've got a sense of that today. I'm going to touch upon a couple of the presentations. So Joe's presentation looking at the Spanish model and looking at what's going on there. Now, a key enabler for that capability around preventive analytics is actually collecting the data together. And as the Innovation Agency, we've been really privileged to work with the Connected Health Cities work to try and create that data pool. Ames is doing a fantastic job in pulling together lots of data records. And one of the other things that I'm responsible for is chairing our regional digital expert group. And that's a group that meets monthly, where we have the CIOs, CCIOs from the trusts, we have the local digital roadmap leads from the CCGs. So we have a great collection of some of the people that are trying to think through how we're going to integrate all this in future. And for those of you that are aware of, NHS England obviously has published a technical architecture. And we're working at the moment, in fact we've got a presentation next week to look at a regional patient record exchange. Expanding on, for those of you that are Lancashire-based, the Lancashire Person Record Exchange, but actually expanding that across the whole of the Northwest Coast, 4.1 million. People. And when we can get that level of interoperability, a lot of the things that we've talked about today can begin to become realities. Now, the other interesting thing is that's often secondary care data. Looking at Carol and the audience there, there's a lot of rich information that we've got, and even looking at the app data that we've got, there's a lot of rich information that we should be adding to that. So another one of the challenges we've got at our digital expert group in the regional strategies, how can we sensibly connect in some of this other information that isn't yet used to understand, prevent and help patients to have a better set of outcomes? So we're working with that as well. So that's just touching on Joe. Steve talked about, Steve Sadler in particular, talked about this interesting opportunity of 1.5 million telecare users on analog technology moving to digital. What can we do with that? There's an interesting conversation that I've kicked off with the TSA and Amazon in the US to begin to look at that cross-fertilization of ideas, where Amazon, for example, is a big commercial player looking at that home automation area. How could we provide a package to make that change much more interesting and much more palatable, if you like, to the general population? So some great efforts beginning to work around that TSA thinking, and I'd really encourage everybody to get along in October and contribute towards that, because that is a really important plank in what we're actually doing. While I'm on that, just to mention, I'm sure most people know, NHS Digital have obviously announced and are going ahead with enabling all GP practices with Wi-Fi. So all GP practices will have Wi-Fi by the 31st to 12th of this year. They're going to have NHS landing pages, which will have national messages. There's also space for local messages and local signposting. So a lot of the basic infrastructure which we've needed in terms of actually having an empowered and activated population is beginning to get in place. Notwithstanding some of the challenges people have in terms of their availability or educational capability to use these devices, we are moving ahead from a general population terms to put in the basic infrastructure which we can connect in a lot of these technology-enabled care packages. Just picking up on the LCAA presentation and the test bed, I think a fantastic example of where we're intelligently now risk stratifying and beginning to think about fitting the right technology packages of care with the right groups of patients. And that then can actually prove itself, if an evidential case, but also fit properly with our needs around care pathway transformation. And as Chris was saying yesterday, Simon Stevens announced the fact that there will be 2 years additional funding for those test beds. One of the things that we as an HSN and HSN network are going to be doing is working around the next step of that those test beds, and that hopefully is good news for people. Because it's been a great, I'm looking at Glyn over there, he was part of the LCI team. It's been a great journey to see those test beds become real and to see them gaining patients and size and getting great data. But actually what we want to do is stop a pilot, I was talking to Steve Sadler earlier, and start the delivery of mainstream services. So part of what we're going to be trying to do from an HSN point of view is work with those test beds around packaging their offer on a sort of commercial basis so that other parts of the NHS can buy, and then we can lift and shift that into mainstream usage. So if you're doubting that this is actually real, it's real, we're doing this now. So I just want to make that point really, really clear. It's great to see the test beds. We're going to put the video on that's on the NHS website, the 17 minutes worth of all seven of the test beds. Really good to hear them. Fantastic stories, but we've got to get that scaled out. We've got to start using that big scale. And then lastly, just touching upon Orca and our colleagues here. So from Orca's point of view, fantastic. Again, the NHS Apps Library is great because we're beginning to see some validation or evidential information around that. But our own medical director and another colleague from Liverpool CCG was saying there will still need to be local preferences around those validated apps, because individual GPs will want to prescribe the ones that they're most comfortable with. But at least we're getting rid of the Wild West now. We're actually going to be able to say these ones actually work. There's good evidence, and that's getting fed back all the time. And then just lastly, as I say, on some of the apps and technology that we've got, I have to commend Heath again. Specifically because I've sat in STP meetings where we've been talking about trying to improve the patient flow, and we're looking at things, for example, improving the capability to triage at the ambulance base simply by connecting up the secondary care data. But that doesn't work unless we can get beds to get people out and into. So it's a really important part of connecting up. So in summary, I've given you a little bit of a sense of what I'm excited about as a director of digital health. It's connecting the dots up. It's joining the dots up between lots of things I care passionately about. I'm sure lots of you do as well. Linking up people together. But I think now's the time. With the STPs and the ACSs that have been generated, we've got a deliberate structure within NHS England that is wanting change, that is deliberately designed for change. A lot of the people in this room have got parts of that ingredients. Let's partner together and make it happen. Thank you.